Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Dust off the sun and moon and sing a song of cheer.
Hey, welcome back, and surprise, yes, surprise, this is our second annual summer extravaganza. We did one last year, and it went so well, we got at least 8 people that listened, and so we decided that we were going to do it again. Jeff invited us out here on his patio with his beautiful pool. The sun is shining. I'm sweating profusely, and it's just a beautiful day. I am your host to this event, Pop Culture Host. I am Brian Burchett Ross, and with me today I have our host.
Oh, Jeff Finlay.
And I have
Dave War.
And I also have
the one and only Robert Yeoman.
And he does mean that, and it's true, the one and only. So, gentlemen, first of all, Jeff, thank you very, very much for hosting us again.
Well, you are welcome, and I want to extend a thank you to my neighbors who decided to go out of town while we're doing this today. So, thank you, Deb. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah.
My other Ron next door.
And Ron, we miss you. Ron is not here. He was not able to make it.
Yes, we do. Mm. But anyways, you guys are welcome. Gee whiz. Use the pool, for heaven's sakes.
All right. Goodbye, folks.
That was a great episode.
I'll throw some splashing noises in, and then we're done. Well, listen. Since this is the one movie I know that we've all watched, I thought, let's do a little movie review to kick off our summer.
I thought I was the only one that saw Jurassic World reboot.
You were. But
I want to.
That's not the movie I was talking about.
I had some problems.
The Fantastic Four came out this summer, the latest Marvel movie, starring Pedro Pascal and 3 other actors. whose name I don't have at the moment. What's that?
Thought it was an excellent cast.
Oh, it was. It was a very good cast. I just don't have all their names memorized, but Pedro's in everything now, so.
Well, the guy who played Ben Grimm is in The Bear.
That's right. I heard that. Never saw The Bear.
Oh, you should. It's pretty good.
That's what I've heard. And the one who played Johnny Storm is was in Stranger Things.
That's right.
Guitarist, I believe, Eddie.
Who played Sue Storm? What was she?
I don't know, but she was powerhouse.
She was a powerhouse. I agree with you there.
She blew him off the stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, she had better lines.
What I thought was interesting, there were some scenes, and this is kind of just a non-sweater, I guess, but there were some scenes where with her hairdo, and when she's turned and faced in such a way, she looked like Mirage. I think the character was Mirage in The Incredibles.
Oh.
Which I said up until this movie was the best Fantastic Four movie made.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if that was a hidden nod to a Pixar, The Incredibles, because it seemed so intentional. It's like, man, she just looks like that character.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So what did you, Jeff, you're the one that surprised me, because you don't normally do the Marvel movies.
Well, I don't. We did see the original Fantastic Four back in the day. Mm-hmm. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. The one thing, I guess, if you've never seen Fantastic Four before, I know they briefly kind of give a summary of kind of what transpired, but you know, if it's a reboot type of thing, I think they should have spent a little more time on what transpired instead of doing a montage of all the things, you know, beating up the villains and whatnot. Having said that, I thought it was pretty doggone good. Okay. I enjoyed it. I didn't walk out of there saying, well, that was a waste of money.
That's a plus.
Yeah. I thought it was good. And I agree with Bob. I think the Gale that played Storm was so much better. Pascal was good.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro was good. But I think that she did really, really, really excellent. I think the graphics and everything goes along with that was pretty spot on. So there you go.
What about you, Dave?
Well, it's interesting you made that comment about the wanting more about what happened before, because I thought that was actually one of the strengths of the movie, is they didn't dwell on the past. It was a reboot, as you said, yeah. So it didn't have to recap us on anything that happened in the other movies, because if we go back to the, you said the original, but right. I'd call them the early 2000s, was that the first Fantastic Four?
The Fox.
The second one was The Rise of the Silver Surfer, and they certainly didn't want you to remember that, because they were introducing a whole new Silver yeah. Surfer this time.
Yeah, very true.
And a new Galactus. It was in no way a remake.
Right.
Even though in some ways it was hashing all around. But I really like the fact that they just basically said, okay, let's spend 10 minutes. Here's how they got their powers. Here's the kind of things they've been doing for us. And to me, it said right away, these are people that the world knows. They know who they are in the world. And we're ready to go. We aren't going to spend 30 minutes of, oh, who are you? Oh, it's Mr. Fantastic. That's an interesting name. Why do you call yourself? You know,
yeah.
We didn't spend time on that. We just got into, here they are. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I think it just showed that they do super heroics. Plus, we don't know what ended up on the cutting room floor.
True. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm wondering if it would have been a 20 or 30 minute longer movie if we saw what was happening with Red Ghost, because it seems kind of a shame. I think they cast John Malkovich.
John Malkovich.
Yes, and
he was supposed to be the Red Ghost. So it's like they cast him, and he's not in the movie, which makes me think that there was something ended up on a cutting room floor there.
Yeah.
And I bet it was for time, because somebody at Marvel probably said, you know, people seem to be getting tired of these 2.5-3 hour epics. Let's just tell the story we need to. And some, frankly, I'll be honest, for those who haven't seen it, it felt a little rushed to me at point. Not as rushed as the earlier movie, the earlier attempt. Okay. And I would talk about the 1994 attempt, except that never made it to theaters. And that was kind of just done so that Fox could hold the copyright, is what I understand. Or to hold on to the rights to make the movie. But now that Disney owns Fox, the Fantastic Four has essentially been set free.
Right.
I thought overall, great. It's like, this is a Fantastic Four movie that I wish they had made in the beginning. It was I like that it did not rely on the superheroics to tell the story. I mean, there were plenty of superheroics, don't worry, folks, if you like your battle scenes. But it was, it focused on the family, and that's what it needed to focus
right.
on.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes back to what you're saying about The Incredibles, you know, because that was all the family situation.
Well, and I'll be honest, it's also what made the Superman movie so strong this year to me.
Which we're going to talk about in our... In our first, what are we, in August?
September. But, you know, as a preview, I guess, they really spend time working on the relationships that Clark had with the rest of the world. And not so much on just, oh, let's show him beating up another bad guy.
What did you think, Bob?
Which one?
Fantastic Four.
Perfect. Nothing to complain about whatsoever.
You heard it here first, folks. Bob Yeoman saw a movie and didn't have anything to complain about. All right. That's high praise from you, Bob.
Not even the lack of Galactus' dog, Galacto.
We said we'd never speak of Galacto again.
I'm kidding. There's no such animal, to my knowledge.
Well, great. You just gave Marvel an idea.
There's a lot of characters in the Marvel Universe.
And they didn't bother with the strange backstory of the Time Variant Association. They went, you know what? That was a mistake. We're just going to ignore it for this movie.
Well, and they did a cute thing with establishing, as I had suspected, that was in a different universe.
Yep.
So I don't think that's a secret, folks. And they did a nice tie-in with why they numbered the universe the way they did.
I also agree that it was the best Fantastic Four to date.
Fourth time is the charm.
Apparently.
Appropriately.
I had one issue. And just one. I know it was a strong cast, and I got used to it by the end of the movie, but I was not quite a fan going in and at the first part of the movie of the actor who played Johnny Storm.
I agree.
I thought he just felt a little I don't know what the word is. He just felt a over here while the other three were over there. There was something about his movement that felt stiff. I wasn't buying him at the beginning. Now, by the end of the movie, I was fine. But there for a while, about the first half of the movie, I was like, no, I don't. I'm not buying him.
And you blame that on the director, you think?
Or the casting director, maybe.
It could be the editing.
Yeah, or it could be the editing. Yeah. I love the fact that, and as Dave said, there is plenty of action in it, but it wasn't a typical, and I enjoyed the typical Marvel movie, but it wasn't a typical opening battle. Okay, here's our characters. Here's how they relate to each other. Little cruise there. Okay, here's another battle. Now we dip back down. We'll have a little story time. Here's your third battle. Now we're building up for the final battle while they figure out how they're going to catch, find, whatever, to beat up the final, but the bad guys for the final time. It was more of what the FF was, and that was they banded together as a family and they thought their way through it.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
And that was keeping with, I think, Kirby and Lee's original vision. I think that was something that it was good for them, that the previous movies never quite understood. Mm-hmm. These people are family.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing is I waited to the very end to the very last credit roll, and I was waiting for something with Stanley, some computer generated image of him somehow, and I did not see it anywhere.
It's kind of in there.
Stanley was there.
I didn't see it.
And Kirby.
So was Kirby. Jack Kirby, who was the original artist. Both of them were there. But I think if you're not a history buff on the creation of Marvel Comics, which goes back to Timely, you probably missed it.
Okay.
It was a quick pan of a comic book office.
Oh.
And it showed two guys at the window, and that was supposed to be Kirby.
And that was a young Kirby and Stanley.
There were comic... They were the people who apparently were doing the Fantastic Four comic in that universe. Because as it has been established in the original Marvel universe, they had started licensing themselves out with comic books and cartoons and stuff, and they did that because they needed the money, of course, to fund their operations.
Right.
Well, then I have to go back and watch it.
The Fantastic Four wasn't just a name for the group, it was the name of their company.
And then we saw
images, I think, that, and I only know this from watching other YouTube stuff later. There was stuff about Reed Tech in there. And hints of that a lot of the future stuff we saw were because they were Reed Richards' inventions being used.
Like the flying car.
Now, I did think the design of the entire movie was beautiful. Folks, if you haven't tuned out yet, don't. But I'm about to talk about the after credit scene. So if you don't want to hear it, give it about 3 or 4 minutes. Jeff, did you stay for the after credit scene?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you know who that was?
With the mask?
Yes.
My wife actually had to tell me who that was.
Oh, okay.
But
your wife's more knowledgeable about Marvel Comics than you are.
She read more than I did. Was it Red Doom? No. Dr. Doom.
That was
Dr.
Doom.
Dr. Doom, yes.
Which was originally the Fantastic Four's largest enemy, the biggest enemy, the arch enemy. And because he and Reed always competed, they were always considered the greatest minds. Reed.
They were rivals in college.
Yep, they were rivals in college.
Okay.
In that earth. Yeah. And you know, and this isn't a secret, but you know who next year we get the next Avengers movie, which is Avengers Doomsday.
Mm.
So Dr. Doom is the biggest baddie.
Okay.
You know who's playing him, correct?
No.
I
do not.
Playing one of them.
Well, that could be true. It could be more than one. It was revealed at last year at San Diego Comic-Con who Dr. Doom was. It was actually did you see the video on that?
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good reveal because they had all these guys walking around as Dr. Doom and the masks and all that.
And they did a big reveal.
And then all of a sudden the one comes down through all of them and he tears off the mask and it's Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So
gave
Robert
up
Downey,
Iron Man to...
So Robert Downey
no
Jr. playing Dr.
Kidding.
Doom. But I will say this to end, and then we're going to go on to a different topic. But I would have liked to have seen, and folks, if you tune back in and we stop talking about the last end credit scene, give me about two more minutes here, folks. I think I understand they probably didn't have him at the time or wanted to pay money for him, but I do think it would have been, it really would have given the audience a nice, powerful ending that when Sue walked in and saw Doom with her son and his mask was off, if he had just either stood up and turned or just turned his face, so there was Downey Jr. reminding everybody, hey, come back next year. So that's our FF review. I don't know how much of that I'll cut out. Probably everything that mentions.
Every moment is golden. You want to see everything.
Everything with Tom Cruise.
Stick around for the review about Dr. Doom that only we have.
We don't know what we're talking about, but we're going to talk about it anyway. So, gentlemen, I came across something, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Well, not pretty interesting. I came across it was from BuzzFeed, and it was the 15 things that baby boomers and Gen Xers never would have imagined they would have seen in their life. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting because we are four, sometimes five men of a certain age are just sitting there who always feel like people should be off our lawns. So I thought I'm going to throw these out here, the 15, and just we'll see if we get a conversation out of them. Yeah. If not, we'll just move on to something else. I've got several other things here. One other thing. But here's the 15, starting with 15. Working from home.
Oh.
And online ordering for delivery.
Oh.
Well, what's the question?
Well, it's just reflections.
It's a reflection on things that baby boomers and Gen X.
So are they saying when we were born or what point?
Well, probably I would say as definitely for baby boomers.
If you asked me in college, I never would have thought that.
I agree.
If you asked
I would have
me 10
either.
Years ago, I would have said sure.
Well,
maybe. Yeah, I think that working from home certainly was a part of pre-COVID, but since COVID, it's just a commonplace.
Go back once the genie's out.
Once they've figured out they're saving money by having people work from home and
sure.
But yeah,
I worked at the courthouse for almost 20 years, and very, very, very rarely did they ever use any kind of a Zoom concept.
No, not at all.
Every judge said, you have to be in this courtroom. Yes. It was only if they were already in prison, couldn't be moved for whatever reason. Yeah.
That is correct. They would hook up a camera in the cell as opposed to bringing the individual over with a correction officer.
What changes the technology? Yeah. Because, before Skype and Zoom and all that, it was a complicated affair to television. And you couldn't just do it from anywhere. Like, say, you had to wire it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, okay, we got Wi-Fi, now we can just click and go.
Right.
No.
So that's, the technology changed, but working from home specifically, if you had asked younger me, just fresh out of school, I never would have imagined that.
No, I wouldn't have either. With the job I have now, half of it is working from home. I go out with my camera here and I tape whatever the library wants me to tape, and then the rest of my work is upstairs at my office editing it down to what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing.
I would say that's something that,
it is.
That's something
I eat lunch now.
It's really done for us, but like say there are employers today who still don't get it.
No.
Including some at the highest levels of our federal government.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. But
always got one. App.
Well, because it to me it reveals, the risk of sounding political, it reveals the distrust of your staff. Mm-hmm. Because they say, well, if I'm not watching them every minute, I know they're not working. The reality is nobody's working every minute. You need to be worried about what's their job output.
Sure.
Yeah.
are they doing what you need them to do?
Yeah, right.
You know, the concept of you got to sit at a desk 40 hours a week for a lot of people is what's wrong. Now, having said that, there's still plenty of jobs that you have to be present. If you're in customer service,
sure,
like a Kroger or cash register, that kind of stuff.
Well, right. Shop,
there's a lot of jobs.
Right. You have to be there.
You can't work from home.
Yeah.
But most office jobs, anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. But I agree. I think in the end, something like that, I don't think we would have ever. Let's see what 14 is. Oh, here's an interesting one. An entire aisle in the grocery store devoted to nothing but water.
No, I didn't. Back in the day,
no,
you got your water from the tap.
We didn't just get the water from the tap.
The
when you were outside, you just grabbed the hose.
Hey, Mom, I want something to drink. Turn the hose on.
The hoses? When we were kids, hoses were made out of rubber.
Correct. That's what you tasted.
And what they've done now is the hoses are made out of other chemical compounds that, frankly, you shouldn't be drinking out of that hose because that stuff that's sitting in that water is poisonous.
Yeah.
It used to be safer to drink out of a hose.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Some of these chemicals that, you know, we're...
Speaking of drinking, I'm going to have a drink.
Quietly poisoning.
I'm going to get my drink.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, you need a cup or anything?
Do you have a cup?
I do get a cup.
I have a cup. And I agree with you, Dave.
Well, don't tell my dog that because my dog drinks out of the hose. Okay, I'll get you a cup.
Thank you.
The dog probably drink out of the pool if he wants to.
Nah, that's why we keep it shut.
Yeah.
So they don't drink out of the pool?
Dogs don't know better, but we do.
Dive into it.
And I'm not saying one sip is going to kill you. But
I would never have
do over time. I never would have thought that.
I would have never thought that we would have had an entire aisle full of.
Yeah, in our day, Perrier was fancy.
Yeah,
and maybe it made sense. Okay, this is sparkling water versus still water.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, why? And I'm not against. I think it's ridiculous to a larger degree, but on the other hand, it's like when I'm traveling on the road or something, I get it.
Yeah. Here's another one. Is he taking my drink?
No, I'm getting a knife.
Cut it open. God, it's like being robbed right here in Prestwick. Barcodes. Yes, and the person who commented on this one said, I once worked in a supermarket, and all we did all night was stamp prices on cans.
I worked at a supermarket in high school.
I did too.
I'm in Target.
Yeah.
Everything had to be stamped.
Yeah. I worked at Foodtown at night, and it was stock. Boom. Boom. You did the little...
Kept the line going.
Well, to a degree, you know, I know it saved the retail labor hours, but boy... at least you knew what the price was on the thing.
You did. And, you know, I know it saved and the bottom line is let's save money for the company so, you know, the rich can be rich. But at the same time, I'm telling you, nothing at the time, those midnight shifts were premium shifts. You got paid more than you did, just running a cash register during the day. Not that that isn't a hard job to stand there for 8 hours.
And you used to have to memorize the code numbers.
Yeah, you had to memorize all the code numbers, if bananas were 064 and blah, blah, blah.
Avocado, 39 cents each.
Yep. So I guess the barcodes have helped in the fact that it's easier for the scanners, the register. But man, it took away a lot of jobs.
And you never hear any more price check on.
Do you need ice?
No, I don't need ice. You're not running back for ice.
I don't care.
Did you want to try this?
Yeah, I'll try it.
Hey, folks, we're trying Traverse City Whiskey Company's Cherry Old Fashioned Cocktail. Buy it now at stores near you if you're in Michigan.
Yeah, there's a barcode on it, too.
And there's a barcode on it. Look, I'm scanning it.
You know, as far as barcodes go, I guess I didn't think too much about it growing up as a kid or even you just... I guess I just really didn't think about it. I never knew.
Mark of the Beast.
Never knew it. Yeah, maybe.
I'm still getting the bottle open, folks.
You want a bottle opener? Do you want my wife? There you go.
Take my wife,
please.
Yeah. All right. Oh, here.
Oh, well, thank you.
Tell me when to stop.
That's good. I'm just going to try it here.
Did you want to try a little bit?
Just to taste.
That smells cherry.
That's funny. Bob, you already got water. You want to...
Can I juice up my water?
What's that?
Juice up.
Oh, you want to just put this in the water?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks. Oh, you got it?
Tell me one.
Juice is unknown.
I've never heard that phrase before, so I learned some.
Enough?
I taste the whiskey, but I don't taste the cherry. I really thought Dave was having a seizure for a second. I wasn't sure what was going on there. Smooth, yeah. All right, next one. Number 12, digital cameras. Taking the picture without the use of film.
The death of Kodak.
I was just thinking
you
that,
know,
Bob. The death of Kodak.
They came. Remember the disc cameras that came out?
Yep.
It's still, you were using some kind of film thing, but it did away with
that. I'd say what's more impressive to me is how quickly it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they came out sometime this century, and suddenly, boom, gone. And then cameras gone for the most part, except for the very specific use, it seems to me. You still have some of DSL cameras?
Yeah.
But, for the most part, everyone's taking pictures of their phone now.
Yeah.
And how fast that changed.
Yeah. Because now even, I think, not that I do see people using cameras still in that.
Yeah, I've actually got two or three cameras at home that have
touched
a long time.
Yeah. David has a digital one that he got him for his birthday, whatever, because he loves taking pictures.
Yeah.
And we carried it to New York and California, went with San Francisco, places like that.
There he is.
But now we've got
the phones.
The phones.
Yeah. I'd say, but my phone takes a better picture than any camera. Yeah.
And you get zoom in real good.
Yeah. The next one, number 10. GPS. This guy says, my father used to drive while my mother attempted to navigate with a big folding map that took most of the front seat, and of course we were entertained by their arguing the entire time.
Oh my God.
Don't do math. Well, I turn here, right. What are you doing? I'm turning right. You said to turn right. No, I meant correct.
Yeah, I know. I still
turn
do that
left.
With David.
My mother-in-law still insists on bringing an atlas with her wherever we drive somewhere. She's got it all. She'll go to AAA and had it all mapped out. And
It took me a long time. Dave was like, just use your phone. And I'm like, but what if the phone's wrong?
And maps are wrong, too.
Known to be wrong.
And phones are known to be wrong.
Maps are wrong on occasion, too, because think about maps printed once a year.
Yeah.
Highways are built all the time.
I think that was pretty astonishing. I think the whole GPS thing.
When I was a kid, when we were kids and watching our parents do the routine, I think if somebody said, don't worry, it's going to be on your phone, you're just going to type it in and it's going to tell you. No.
Yeah.
What is this, Star Trek? Yeah. Ain't going
to
happen.
So nothing to disparage on this list.
Here we go.
But I'm going to.
But this isn't, the reason we didn't see these things coming is because we never thought about it.
Sure. But that's what this is saying. Things that the baby boomers and the Gen X would have never thought we would have seen.
Yeah, but I...
No, I get what you're saying. And then I get what Dave's saying. We didn't think about it. So,
Somebody
came along with us.
A lot of this stuff is stuff we just didn't realize we needed.
But didn't we? Because... at the same time, I mean...
Somebody did.
We're the generation that watched Star Trek, so it's like, I want a communicator. And, the idea of...
Well, you got one.
So cell phones...
Exactly.
We anticipated. And teleportation, you'll never get me in one of those things. I don't care.
No.
Do invent it.
Good God, no.
What comes out that other side thinks it's you.
Oh, that old discussion.
But you can't convince me that you'd be taken apart atom by atom and survive.
They did in Fantastic Four.
I don't care. Well, Fantastic Four, they were opening interdimensional ports. They weren't teleporting. In that sense, they were space warping.
They tried it, and
I mean, because you could see that he was going into someplace with stars. Mm-hmm. If you can see through it, it's not teleportation. It's being shoved through essentially subspace or some other.
Yeah, some kind
it's
of
a black hole
mini
kind of thing.
But that could have issues of its own.
Well, I'm sure it would.
Yeah. Number 9. Are you not wanting to go on with this list?
No, keep going.
Okay. Because we can go on to the next subject.
I'm hoping that somewhere Donald Trump in the White House is on this list.
No. We don't do politics, remember?
Okay.
By the way, love South Park.
That's the one thing I sure didn't see coming.
No, nobody did. Some people
did. Send those letters directly to me. I don't care. Prove me wrong.
Number 9 is says, I have a tune running in my head. I'll ask Siri what it is, and soon I'm playing it on Spotify instead of humming it all day, wondering what the hell it is.
Oh, gosh.
I think that's a wonderful...
Have we forgotten about Shazam already?
Well, Shazam? No, Shazam is there too, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Shazam and
I'm
Siri.
More surprised that DC apparently licensed out the name Shazam to another company.
To another company.
That is pretty amazing.
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, that's one of my all-time favorites is being able to hit... And I use Shazam. Like, if I'm in the car and there's a song and I'm like... Who sings that again?
Yeah.
I'll grab that and just hit Shazam and look down, hit a couple bikers, and see. Oh, that's So I found out that that it was the Rolling Stones, and two bikers are now critical condition.
I'm serious, so I usually ask Alexa.
Okay, see, so.
You usually have to call into the disc jockey and say, who sings that?
Yeah, who sings that? Number 8, top fuel dragsters and funny cars, going sub 4-second runs at 330 miles per hour and shutting off at the 1,000 HP mark.
Gotta be honest, didn't care.
Even know that now.
I'm telling you, that's all I laid awake all night as a kid going, will we ever get. All right, on to the next one. Silly people. Number 7, I can talk via WhatsApp or a cell phone to someone on the other side of the world. This is a very Star Trek-ish thing that we finally
You got nothing to say, Gladys.
You got nothing to say. I love being able to talk to our niece in Scotland. And being able to see our great niece and nephews on their Christmas morning or whatever. I think that is an amazing. We have a
That is.
No, of course, the preset to that would have been, I mean, there has always been long-distance calls, but not to the capacity that you're able to do like this. I mean, you don't have to go through a third person to make it happen. You just call. You just do it.
I would say long-distance calls doesn't, I think I saw coming. I didn't.
Did you?
I'm going to be honest. Because we had long-distance calls. If communication is going to get better, then, of course, that'll get better.
Yeah, but it's nice not that we don't pay out of the nose for whatever.
Well, sure.
We can call to the moon in 1967.
Yeah, but it was all
69. No, but I'm just saying, it's like
one small for mankind.
Long distance communications is not fast. Is not a surprise to me.
But the video part of it. The video part of
predicting video phones back in the 60s too.
Well, sure.
Disneyland's House of Tomorrow.
Okay, Jetsons was predicting flying cars.
Yeah, we still have.
So where are my flying cars?
Exactly.
That you can pull in a briefcase and.
And don't tell me that we didn't have at least one father or grandfather that sat there during those Star Trek and episodes, going, "Well, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen."
The funny show was on.
Next one.
No, but the Jetsons predicted the long distance calling.
Simpsons predicted Trump.
They're on that one.
Listen to your cartoons, people. They know what they're talking about. Number 6.
I remember that one.
That means I love you.
I'm in my early 60s, and about 40 years ago, I was setting up my home entertainment system, hi-fi, VCR, receiver, dual cassette deck, and my huge 40-inch TV. I told my wife I can't wait till they flatten out the TV so I can just hang them on the wall. She told me it never happened in my lifetime. Guess what?
She was
wrong. Yeah. I love flat screen TVs.
A lot lighter.
Absolutely.
A lot lighter.
They're working, and they've had prototypes where you can actually fold them up like the newspaper, which for those of you in the audience may not know, used to be a piece of paper that you had information printed on and came to your doorstep daily.
Yeah. But
anyway, that you could roll up and treat like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for that. Let's get the true flat screen.
Yeah.
No.
Number 4. This person said, thank you, sir. I'm I'm genuinely blown away by AI. Over the last few decades, we have gone through such fast innovative with regards to anything tech. But AI, hold on, Dave, you'll get your moment. But AI for me is such a giant leap forward. What I'm seeing today, I couldn't have ever imagined 2 years ago, never mind from what I was growing up.
I would agree with that. I'll throw again my friend Mike McGee.
Hi, Mike in Berkeley.
Berkeley. Yep. Mike has said it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Mike is writing a book, and he in order to get some illustrations for his book, he relies on AI, and it's just phenomenal. And some of the videos you see out there, if you're real careful looking some of the stuff that you see like on Facebook or whatnot, you can tell it's fake just because of the content itself.
The cheaper,
but some of the
cheaper
exactly.
Stuff.
But just astonishing. Just astonishing that anybody, you don't need to be a big tech, Hollywood tech person to be able to do it. You can just do it, man.
But I will go on the record right now. AI, as we know it today, is a plagiarism machine. If you are artistic, you should not be using AI. You are shooting yourself in the foot. It is regurgitating stuff that is out there, and it's stealing from other artists who have worked hard to come up with that information. True AI, in my opinion, and I don't know anything about computers, but in my opinion, doesn't exist. True AI is on the Starship Enterprise. And until we have that, we don't have actual AI. We have basically, these are that, what is it,
multi,
I can't remember what they call them, but basically it's going out there, it's sorting through the data that's already out there. It's not coming up with new things, it's regurgitating old things in different ways until it hits something you like. Wow. And I think, unfortunately, this is why every creative person out there who's making a living being creative should be worried about it. Because it's
going to be
absolutely.
Totally.
I agree.
Scripts, and it's not perfect, and our entertainment is going to suffer because of it.
I agree.
Mark my words.
I agree.
That is a true porch man of a certain age rant. I applaud you for that.
You
that
hit it.
That was excellent, sir. This is why you're wrong.
No, you're not.
You're not at all.
No.
Here's the next one. Medical advancements with DNA. A genetics test told my doctor that I have the BRCA1 gene mutation while I was going through breast cancer in 2016. I kicked its beep ass. Oh no, I'm supposed to beep that out. That's okay. Years later, in 2023, forensic genetic genealogy solved my aunt's unsolved murder from 1966. Mm. It was a serial killer that no one knew about. So I will have to say advancements in that way. I don't know if I would say, oh, that really surprises me. I never saw that coming. But those advancements are amazing and really have helped society. This woman who's had cancer and a serial killed aunt, she has problems within the family. And we could talk to her, but that's a whole different story.
Avoid Dr. Phil.
Okay. Yes.
Advances in DNA, I've got two words for you. Jurassic Park. just putting that out there.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they always looked at blood types and things like that.
It's actually, again, like all tools, if used properly, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But if we want to get to we got to be careful that now we're not going to try to do things like predict, oh, this person's going to get, they're going to be a serial killer, so we better kill them now. You know, what was that movie? Tom Cruise was in it.
What's it called again?
Yeah, you said Tom Cruise, and now I can tell you.
No, something about Die Again Tomorrow, or something. I don't know.
No. This is where they were solving crimes before the crimes occurred, based on.
He was the cop that went around and arrested people before they committed the crime.
Mm.
I know which. I don't know the name of the movie, but I know what you're talking about.
But, so it's the kind of thing.
Where's Ron when we need him? Ron,
look up the Google machine.
Your favorite place, Twilight of the Golds. You know, it's like, how much do you want to know?
Going forward. But at the same time, I think there's a difference between knowing, am I going to have,
Minority Report?
Thank you.
Minority Report, good.
But like, say,
scoliosis,
I think you have to, like all tools, it's got to be used properly.
Mm. All right, and number one.
I don't trust people to do anything properly.
Humans. Can't live with
I love mankind.
Is he the oldest one here? I can't remember anymore. Bob is. You're going to run for the money.
I love humanity. It's people I can't stand.
I love that line.
To quote Linus from... Or to paraphrase.
And then the final one, and I think I will have to say, and I know Dave is probably going to go, nope, saw it coming the whole time. But if
Arby's, saw that.
I've seen that
going. They have the meat,
I'm amazed how much play time Arby's gets.
I've seen Taco Bell coming and going.
Spending all their money to get all these mentions on TV, but it's just, it's amazing.
Number one, this person said, if you had told me back in the early 80s when I became a teenager that one day, as a grown-up, I could have a small box in my pocket that was not only a telephone, but a compass, a torch, a camera, a recording studio, a newspaper, a map of the entire world, could guide me through them with pictures and voice command, could house my entire record collection, that would hold my entire book collection, that would hold my entire videotape collection, wow, that I could watch TV on, I would laugh my ass off.
Wow.
So, this person needs to listen to more records, read more books, my pocket miracle doesn't hold half the crap because before they start trying to sell me more space on the clock.
Exactly.
just saying.
Okay.
Now that you got me in grumpy old man mood.
I didn't do it.
No, but to a degree we did, you know, with Star Trek.
The communicator and the tricorder.
The tricorder.
I mean, the communicator and tricorder but are right
this
here.
This is the most amazing device. I mean, essentially we got pocket computers now.
You can have root beer.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, when you get down to it, I would never have, what I never would have envisioned is that we would be so attached to them.
And yeah, I agree with that as well.
You know, there's that thing on theory, point of commonality or something where man and machine become one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've already reached it. We just don't recognize it because these aren't embedded in our brains, but they might as well be sewn to your hand.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You might as well have it right there.
You know, and just yep. We reached that point where we're fused with machines. We just kept it as a separate device. But yeah, I mean, have someone to go 10 feet from their phone and hide it from them and watch. If you think we're not attached to these devices, just watch them react.
Oh, yeah. All right, gentlemen, we're going on to another topic. And hey, are y'all having fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huzzah!
Pizza is on its way.
Awesome.
Oh, that's why we're not leaving. Okay.
I have. That's why I'm still here. I just figured it out.
And the root beer is cold and wonderful.
Oh, all good.
There you go. I have a surprise for you.
You brought Ron.
No. I brought Ron's arch nemesis. I brought Julie.
Oh!
We're doing a random, out of nowhere.
Oh. She looks great in a bikini.
Harlot.
We're not to deserve generic.
Yeah. You're going to be going up this week.
That's AI. Sorry.
Sadly, they had to dump her from the wheelchair into the pool. But, you know what? Hit it, Julie.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Thank you, Julie. You just keep swimming out there. And look at her waving frantically. She's so happy. Look, she's diving. Oh, she's sleeping at the bottom of the
pool. She can really hold her breath a long time.
Is drowning.
Nah. She just took off. She took off with her umbrella. She's in the air. anyway, gentlemen, this is a weird question.
I like weird.
Is it rest hasn't?
And I just thought I randomly popped into my head, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But we talk a lot about pop culture, celebrities, movies, TV, music, art, books. So here's a weird question. If you could go back and take any person's career, doesn't have to be their life, but their career, and say, this is now my career. Ooh, this is me. This is now me. I'm going to have this actor's career.
Does it have to be an actor?
Singer, book writer, I don't care. Who would it be?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Holy cow, that's so deep.
Is it deep?
That's deep.
Do we just
Well, Dave's saying no, so Dave, you want to go first?
Nope.
I say Stephen King.
Oh, that's a good one.
Actually, that's where I was leaning.
Really?
So I'll let Bob take Steven. I'll come with someone else.
Why? What are your reasons for that, Bob?
Money!
Okay. just the money, not the fact that he really has an artistic side to him that has created some of the most
money.
Okay.
You know what? Dave?
I'll go with another Steven Spielberg.
Ooh. Another good one.
Yeah, I think I would work for me.
All right.
You know what?
Just not the last Indiana Jones.
No, I mean, no, he's reached a point where basically he can do anything he wants in Hollywood.
No.
You know,
or not
do
anything.
He can take risk. He can not take a risk. He can pick and choose everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's also created some of the most iconic characters out there, or has had a hand in them, I should say. I don't know if he created E.T., but he certainly found somebody
who did. Oh, hi, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I am going to say...
This is Jeff's wife, Mary.
Hey, hi there.
Mary, I just want to say that we are very, very impressed with your Marvel knowledge over your husband's. Apparently, we have the wrong person in the podcast.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I know more about the World War II films, though. Anyways.
We talk about that a lot. Yeah. I was just thinking, we talk about that a lot.
I'm going to say Jimmy Stewart. And here's the reason why. Is because he came from the era of the finest generation, as they say. Mm-hmm. And not only was he an actor, he was a war hero. And not that makes you great, but it just... I think it speaks volume of his character, and he stayed in his marriage for a long, 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 long time. I think just he was very, very well respected.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Jimmy Stewart.
Really? Now, Dave, that made you want to change?
That made you cringe.
Well, because, and this is why I don't like these spot questions, because I never thought of it. The obvious answer was one I should have given was Walt Disney.
Oh.
Presuming that I didn't have to die at 61 or whatever he did. Mm-hmm. Cancer, just take a career. But Walt Disney touched so many lives.
He did.
I mean, he had his faults, but career-wise,
thank you, Jeff. You want me to take
things this? Pretty much lined up. It took a lot of work, but things lined up for him. And, to be able to create iconic amusement parks and hand in all the characters. He also was at the point where he could pick and choose whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the important part, being able to pick and choose what you want to do.
And you could be sitting here now saying, yes, I created the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yes. So. I think he was gone by that point.
Yeah, well, he was. But if he didn't have to die at 61.
But the fact that his,
his legacy.
Walt Disney World, Disney parks throughout the world. People think of Walt Disney. Those that believe understand he was a real person, they smile.
Yeah. Walt has given...
Not all his employees did. But,
there was that one party.
And I'm sure, life wasn't his... wasn't all grins and giggles.
Oh, sure. Well, that can be said for anyone we choose. I mean, and I guess maybe I could have put a lot of different boundaries on that too, but when I say pick the career, does that mean you're picking all the lows that they had as well as the highs?
Career-wise, I think things pretty much... Well, and his lows, because, he had several failures before he got to Mickey Mouse.
Sure.
The lows were part of the path.
Yeah, and that's part of it. I think when you become, you got to stick with it, and you got to...
The real question is, if you had the shot of that career, would you recognize, would you have the same gumption, continue it?
Yes.
Or would you have failed with the same opportunities?
Right.
I was out for a second. Speaking of Walt Disney, did you happen to see the new animatronics that failed with him?
Yeah, it didn't quite look like Walt.
No, kind of slumped over and... did you see that part?
No, I just saw that. I looked at the face. I said, it doesn't
completely
quite look
the
like
animatronics
him.
Completely failed. He's over on his side.
Well, they haven't.
And now, folks, Walt Disney in the last 10 seconds of his life.
But they are. They're working on it. It's not like they opened the attraction yet or anything, so.
Well, that's interesting. So, who's going to be Ron in this?
Thanks, Julie. What is that? What you were? What?
No. What about you, Brian?
What about you, Brian?
What about you, Brian?
Thanks.
Everybody?
Yeah, everyone.
See, Ron, that's why we need you.
Yeah, I mean, you are an integral part of this, Ron. I'm glad you asked. And the reason why this came to mind is because I've been watching the documentary on, I believe it's HBO Max. Or Max, or whatever. They switch every year and a half. On Billy Joel.
Oh.
And for those of you out there that don't know this, the guys here on the porch or patio today do. We all have been in theater. We have all done various things where we've been able to entertain people. And as much as I love acting, and there's a part of me that says Nicholson because Nicholson had such a great career, and I could pick out a lot of other actors. I'd be happy with the career of Howard Hessman, to be totally honest. Oh, I mean, the man was good at what he did, too. There's always been something, and maybe it's because I can't sing, there's always been something with the idea of being a singer who can bring in thousands of people in an arena and keep their attention for 2 hours, having them singing the songs that you wrote, that you created day after day. I think there's something powerful about that.
I've had a voice.
So, thank you. So, I would think, I guess for me, it would probably be Billy Joel. Although Elton John is a really close
singer. Oh, yeah.
You know, as long as I don't have to do the cocaine and all the drug shit that they all did, because I, you know.
Right.
But I love the idea of being able to entertain that many people night after night, and truly, and this is the ego in me, hear the sound of their singing back, hear the sound of the applause.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
That would be just an amazing thing.
And that's what every theater person, I mean, that's what you do your shows for. I mean, early in my career with Players, I did about every show I could possibly do.
Sure.
Just because I wanted to be up there and hear the, you know.
Yeah.
But after a while, I kind of got choosy with what I wanted to do.
Well, but I think there's a part also as an actor that, I mean, yes, you always want the applause, and especially the laughter. You want to, if you're doing a comedy, you want to hear the laughter.
Oh, yeah.
But that being said, I think for those of us, a lot of us who do theater, I think there's a challenge of, can we make the people believe we are
who we're portraying?
Who we are portraying.
Yeah.
And that is what a true artist does in TV, theater, or movies. And that's where Nicholson kind of fails a lot.
Mm.
I love his career, but in the end, a lot of what Nicholson does is, okay, I'm going to be, is Nicholson.
Yeah.
Still, you know, he was the Joker. So I get that too. But yeah, I don't know. I think being a musician of some sort that could bring in all those kind of people, I think that would be.
And unlike an actor, I mean, people are going to listen to your music over and over and on radios. You know, there's different media where they're able to do that.
Oh, sure. Sure. But. And I honestly think as much as I love live theater, because live theater gives you that rush of you are in the moment. Mm. If you are an actor that has achieved TV or movie, your legacy lives on a little bit better because people can watch it over and over. New generations can see.
Yes.
Ted Danson's going to live forever in Cheers. I think there's always going to be somebody who sees it for the first time and goes, hey, what is this? This is pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course, we said the same thing about Welcome Back, Cotter. And there's up your nose, the rubber hose. We used to laugh at that. And I look at it now and
it's like, that ain't funny. Yeah. No. Mm-mm. No, but it did give us
Mr. Cotter.
It did give us
what's his
John
name?
Travolta. Yeah. and the awakenings of Scientology.
I was reading. Ah, boy, we get some feedback on this. L. Ron Hubbard.
I've heard of him.
He's an author. He's big, yeah. So I read something about he was a World War II naval officer.
Was he?
He had one ship to command. And he just wasn't trusting his crew, wasn't trusting his navigator and whatnot, and seeing these blips on the screen were actually mountain ranges and things like that. No, no, those are enemy ships out there. And he shelled, there's a little island off of Mexico, or attached to Mexico. He shelled the island in Mexico, thinking it was a ship. And they immediately took his command away. So, little L. Ron Hubbard.
Well, he got the last laugh because he now runs a lot of people's lives.
Yes, he does. Tom Cruise.
John Travolta. Christy Alley while she was alive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Which, you know.
There's a lot.
Oh, Jim Henson.
Jim Henson's Scientologist?
Jim Henson's Scientologist,
no. I didn't know that. No. Does that mean Miss Piggy is a Scientologist? Now I'm disturbed. The world has shifted.
I've seen her being eaten on a Friday.
Which makes you wonder, would these people have lived? Have they... You know, I'm not...
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Did I tell you that Katie Holmes, who was married to Tom Cruise, who's from Toledo, which for all of you out there, who the two of you that are still listening to this, is just down the road from us, about 24 miles, 25
it's
miles.
Technically out of the hills.
Yeah. Her brother is an attorney.
Yes.
And I have met him.
I had a case. When I was a probation officer, he was representing a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I met him. I said, somebody was saying, you know who that is? And I know who that is. Well, that's Katie Holmes. Tom Cruise's brother-in-law. I said, really?
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to him about it. He says, yeah.
Has Cruise ever been something with Kevin Bacon?
What?
20 degrees from Kevin
Bacon. Were there 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? Does this give you your 6 degrees?
Well, yes, kind of. Because Tom Cruise was in A Few Good Men with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, there you go. Excellent.
Married Katie Holmes.
Married Katie Holmes, whose brother is
an attorney that we work with.
Yeah. So we've met Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
And he's nothing like he is on screen.
No, but again, you and I can go 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
So that means I.
You and Bob can go.
I think we're still within that because we know you then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are all six. Top story. The men on the porch are all 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Or less.
Kevin, if you're out there listening, we'd love to have you.
So let's see. So Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 1 degree.
Brian, who knows the brother, Katie Holmes, who was married to Tom Holmes.
We did a...
That gives me five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we did this year, gentlemen, is we talked about game shows. It was one of my favorite episodes because game shows, as we talked about, were an integral part of our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorites, and I think I said my all-time favorite, was Match Game. And we played a little bit of Match Game. And I thought, okay, we're here on the patio that Jeff has graciously hosted. And I thought, let's do it again. Let's do some more. So I went through and I watched a couple of 1975-76 episodes with Gene Rayburn and a couple of Alec Baldwin.
Wow.
Alec Guinness hosting the Match Game.
Yeah, I know. Love to see that.
Dumdora. Oh, it's so dumb. And I took a few questions from each, and I thought, all right, let's play three rounds of Match Game again, and let's just have a little fun here.
Yeah.
So, as before, one of you will be the contestant, the other two will be the celebrities, and we'll see if we can match, and we'll see who gets the most points.
Okay.
Here's what you win, gentlemen. You win for the next, our next official episode that we'll be recording, which is our Superman episode. For all of you who are waiting for our actual regular episode, that is I Love Lucy, the I Love the Lucy Ball episode. We've had some technical difficulties, so you'll hear about that when that episode premieres. So, but the next episode we record will be the Superman movie episode. And you will win, whoever wins this. Sorry, Ron, you weren't here. Mm-hmm. 2 extra points to start.
Oh
my God.
I'm going to need those for the Superman.
2 episode. Extra points.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you haven't watched the...
I have not.
You still have time. You got a week or two.
Is it streaming yet?
Yeah, it don't go that fast, it don't go that fast.
I see Jurassic World streaming already.
Is it really?
That's not in the theaters anymore, I don't think.
Oh, wow. Anyway,
for Lilo and Stitch. I think Lilo and Stitch is off digital.
Okay. So I'm actually, because you can't see this, I'm holding the mic because I feel very Gene Rayburn-ish at the moment. It's not quite as thin, but it's pretty long.
Very long.
Thank you. And we're going to do this. Now, we're going to start to my left, and Bob is to my left. So, Bob, you're going to be the first contestant.
All right. I am the first.
You are the first contestant, so you don't have to write anything down. Just listen, and these two have to write down and see if we can match. If you can match them or they match you. So here we go.
I won't look.
Okay, well, I don't have any answers here. All right, and everybody play with me on some of these. I think you know what I mean. All right. Dumb Dora is so dumb.
How dumb is she?
When she went on an Easter egg hunt, she took along a blank. Okay, you've got an answer, and Jeff and Dave have an answer. So, Bob, Dumb Dora is so dumb, when she went on an Easter egg hunt, she took along a...
Easter basket.
An Easter basket. Okay, that's an answer. Dave.
A rifle.
Okay. And Jeff.
A gun.
A rifle, a gun. Okay. And watching the episode, that is exactly pretty much what they did. Yeah.
Well, did I mention there was a gun in the...
No, you did not.
And full disclosure must be made.
Yeah, it must. It's got to be.
Basket
all right.
is French for gun, I think.
What is basket?
Basket is French for...
Yeah. Basket's French for something. Exactly. All right. So now it's Dave's turn. So you two will be writing down.
Okay.
We're going to match. Here we go. Weird Wanda is a real nature lover. Yesterday, she spent the entire day kissing a blank. Hey, Dave, Weird Wanda is a real nature lover. Yesterday, she spent the entire day kissing a...
Tree.
Jeff, what do you have?
Well, you know, in college, she was very eco-friendly. She was a tree hugger. But she enjoyed it so much, she started kissing the trees.
Kissing the trees. There you go. 1 point. What about you, Bob?
I was following the 3 rules of comedy. First, an answer which makes no sense. Second, another answer that makes no sense. The final... An absolute issue is a rabbit.
A rabbit.
She was kissing a rabbit.
Continuing the joke from before.
Oh, well, yeah, I did. Yeah, you're right there. All right, so Dave, you got a point. You got a point for that. All right, next one. Get out a new card, folks, and Jeff is our contestant. All right, here we go. I can't do this like Gene did, but we're gonna see what I can do here. 112. Nope, that didn't do it.
That's just how Gene would do it.
Probably. 102-year-old Mrs. Periwinkle said. I hate when my husband plays hockey. He uses my cane as a hockey stick and my blank is a puck. 102-year-old Mrs. Periwinkle said, I hate when my husband plays hockey. He uses my cane as a hockey stick and my blank as a puck. All right, everybody ready?
Yep.
So Weird Wanda is a real... Oh, no, wait. 102-year-old Mrs. Periwinkle said, I hate when my husband plays hockey. He uses my cane as a hockey stick and my blank as a puck.
False teeth.
False teeth is what Jeff said. All right. Bob, what did you say?
I hate it when he uses it as his eye.
Oh, man.
And my eye has a
Well,
that's
marbles.
A Sammy Davis Jr. sort of answer. And Dave, what did you say?
I said dentures.
Dentures. Yeah, you got a point. You got a point. And
the judges would accept that as false teeth.
Yes, they did, actually. And, so, yes, and that was the seemed to be the definitive answer. All right.
Said rabbit.
There you go.
You should have said my rabbit. As a, stick with what you know. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, that was the opening thing.
Okay.
Yep.
He's got it. I just.
All right, so we're back to Bob. Bob, you are the contestant. These two are going to write down the answer. Here we go. This is a weird one.
They're all weird.
I know. All right. This one was from the 2000 and some,
Alec Guinness.
the Alec Guinness. The force is so strong. No. Veronica said, you're the contestant, Bob. Veronica said, my husband has a move he likes to do in bed. It's called baking the cake. It's different every time, but I always end up covered in blank. Bob, Veronica said my husband has a move he likes to do in bed. It's called baking the cake. It's different every time, but I always end up covered in...
Flour.
There is a joke there.
There is a joke there.
God bless you. That's a great answer. Dave, what did you have?
I said frosting.
Frosting. Icing. That's not a guess, but that's a very good answer. Jeff?
I'm basing this on my own experience. Sprinkles.
I have no idea what that means. I apologize. My God.
Sorry for Mary.
Well, you know, with age. All right.
She likes the gems.
So what was the answer?
The basic answer was icing.
Okay.
Was icing.
Oh,
so, although
so
one person...
clued in to the...
Right. One person did say, which was the one that got the most laughs, was baby gravy.
I can see you getting
that out.
That's
more than tacky on so many levels.
Well, but you know, we're in a new
Charles.
Era. It wasn't Charles. Charles was dead by then. Anyway, so here we are. You're the contestant now. Dave's the contestant. All right. So this question is Jeff and Bob will write down. Josephine sneezed so hard.
How hard you sneeze?
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
It's all about women.
That her. No, I have one about Jeff. Josephine sneezed so hard that her blank turned inside out. Josephine turned, sneezed so hard.
I don't know if we were there.
So, Bob and Jeff, write down your answers. Dave, Josephine sneezed so hard that her blank turned inside out.
Well, the first answer, I think, would get bleeped. I'm going to say her hoo-ha.
That sounds like a genius.
Her hoo-ha turned inside out. Would you like to? No, I don't even want to ask. All right. Well, her hoo-ha turn inside out. Jeff, what did you say?
Probably because it's other answers.
Well, it would have turned inside out, but her panties were still on. I had her panties.
Panties turned inside out. All right. Josephine sneezed so hard, Bob, that her blank turned inside out.
What do you want me to do?
Give us an answer. What did you say?
I thought I already gave it. The patois.
Oh,
we'll give you a point for that,
ding,
Dave.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. All right. The answer.
You did that part.
No, but that's all right.
All right. All right.
The answer that was given, and this actually was a 1975.
Oh my gosh.
Question. Wow. The answer was nose.
Nose turned
on nose.
They probably had to clean it up.
Now one person said bra.
Yeah.
One person said corset. Charles Nelson Reilly,
well,
of course.
We just had the joke about the frosting.
Right. So, you know. All right. So, Jeff. Oh, that's interesting since this is. Okay.
I wouldn't have gotten any points with nose.
No. So, okay. This is Bob and Dave will be writing this one down. When Jeff finished showing his vacation movies, he turned the lights back on and discovered his guests were all blanking. Okay, Jeff. When Jeff finished showing his vacation movies, he turned the lights back on and discovered his guests were all...
Leaving.
All right. Bob, what did you say?
Sleeping.
What did you say? Sleeping. And back there, yeah, sleeping.
Sleeping would have been too obvious.
One person did say leaving. But I would have gone in a whole different direction.
Make something clean.
Yeah, well, yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, last round for all of you. So far, Dave's the only one who's had any points here, folks. So I'm not even sure you can catch up, but let's play anyway. This is for you, Bob.
And I stand ready for it, Brian.
Thank you.
Bring it on.
Excellent. All right, here's another one. Get ready to play with me here. Dumb Doris, so dumb.
How dumb is she?
I don't know. Dumb Doris, so dumb that when her driving instructor told her to lay on the horn, she drove to the zoo and took a nap on a blank. Dumb Dora, we start with Jeff. Dumb Dora is so dumb that when her driving instructor told her to lay on the horn, she drove to the zoo and took a nap on a...
Rhino.
A rhino. What do you say? Oh, wait.
You should have asked me first, but I was going to say rhinoceros.
I had a feeling because it's like the answer. Yeah. What were you going to say,
Elephant.
Bob? Elephant. You got a point. Dave. All right.
Well,
because that's the animal.
Ain't that special?
That we all think about first. I was gonna say, I'm glad I don't have to spell it. Rhino works.
Jeff, am I doing this right? Did I lose track somewhere?
I think Bob should have been the one to come up with the answer.
Bob should have come up with that one. Yeah. So Bob, we're gonna do your next, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay.
All right. So Bob, here's yours. These two, write it down. Did you hear? And this, by the way, is a newer question.
Okay.
Did you hear Alexa and Siri are dating? Things are really heating up. They are ready to take the next step and switch themselves to blank mode. Did you hear Alexa and Siri are dating? Things are really heating up. They are ready to take the next step and switch themselves to blank mode.
Naughty mode.
Naughty mode. Dave, what did you have?
Sleep.
Sleep mode. All right. And
I put safe mode.
Safe mode. All right. Nothing.
You know, you're gonna
safe mode.
Safe sex
and all that. All right. No match there. All right. Finally, you.
Okay.
Your last time to write. Your last time to be on there. All right. Catwoman. Just became a new mom. She had a litter of kittens. She said she's very happy to be a new mom, but she's afraid she doesn't have enough blank. Jeff, Catwoman just became a new mom. She had a litter of kittens. She said she's happy to be a new mom, but she's afraid she doesn't have enough
nipples.
Nipples. There's two answers they could have gone. Bob, what did you
milk.
Say? Milk. Milk. And what did you say?
I had nipples first, then crusted on wheat because I thought it was too specific, so I said breast.
Judges.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. So Jeff and Dave. Dave won it by 1 point. So Dave, in the next quiz for a regular episode, you start with an extra half a point. What?
You said 2 points.
Did I?
You did say 2 points.
As if he's going to need them.
Okay. Well, you are battling Jeff, so.
Well, it's Superman, though. It's Superman.
Every point.
So it's Superman. And the next prize will be fudge rounds. With really weird looking boxes.
That doesn't look like fudge at all.
He's too lumpy.
Gentlemen. So we'll end with the quiz. Jeff, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks guys for coming.
We had a really good time. And folks, what we turned the camera off or the microphone off. And we discussed the really important things. We have figured out how everybody can now get along and go through life with nothing but peace, love, and harmony. So when you see our obituaries tomorrow, you'll know that they didn't take. Because we were right. Any last words from any of you here on this wonderful, beautiful patio?
No, I enjoy everybody that comes over. I hate to see the summer go, but looking forward to our upcoming broadcasts for the winter months and so on. And I hope you all are there to join us.
Anything from you, Bob?
Well, I hope everybody had a wonderful summer. Buckle down for school. Do good things. Stay alive.
great job. God bless you. You think people from kids from school are listening to this? I'm impressed. Dave, anything from you?
No.
Oh.
Dave's so into his rocker right now, you wouldn't believe it.
Rock on, folks.
Well, let me ask you one last question.
We could do an episode on rockers.
Oh, we could.
Like chairs.
Yeah, we could.
Boys. Whoever the home of Monroe.
Yeah. What season do you guys like the most?
Fall.
What about you, Bob?
Late spring.
Oh.
We're talking about television?
No, Dave. Mother Nature.
I liked season 3.
Of every show.
Pepper, I love Pepper.
In general, they got the characters down.
Seasoning, Jeff.
They know what they're doing. There's no more experimentation. Everything's gels by season 3.
I've always loved experimentation.
I want to go back to when you started a new season, all the new cars come out at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that was a while ago.
I would have to say early fall. When, you know, it's still warm, but you can feel it getting slightly cooler. And, yeah.
How about you, Brian?
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
I would have to say late fall and early winter.
I'd say late spring, too.
Late spring.
That's when the temperature's about right.
Yeah, I love the temperature. I don't mind cold temperatures. I prefer cold to hot for myself. But I think anything from about Halloween to New Year's is my favorite.
Really?
After that, you can give me another week or two of the winter crap, and then it's like, okay, I want spring now. But I hate summer. I absolutely detest summer.
You can always put another sweater on, but it's hard to take the skin off.
Yes.
Absolutely, and nobody wants to see it. So, until... except Jeff. We all wanted to see that. So until next time, and that'll be next week, folks, when we do our Lucy episode, which kind of got screwed up, so you're going to hear a really weird version of that. Might be the weirdest version of any show we've ever done.
Lucy is a hippie?
Lucy's going to get very cut and pasted. But until then, I want to thank Jeff very, very much for hosting us.
Yes. Thank you very much.
For the pizza, for the bourbon. No, I brought that.
The bourbon.
And for all of it, thank you so much. And thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, Impact, for dropping this. I don't have to thank the library at this point. Until next week, when we do I Love Lucy, or Some of Us Love Lucy. I found out that not all of us love Lucy, but what we all do love is for you to stay off our lawn.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.